your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 following the NFL Draft. John and I are joined now by Tommy Lawler from EaglesBlitz.com. Tommy, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tommy, good to see you, bud. I know you're a big draft guy, so I want to get right into it with the Eagles. Impressive to me. I grade things a little different. I grade things by decisions because none of us know what these players are going to turn into a year or two down the road. Eagles made a lot of good decisions in this draft from my perspective. So I'll start it. Favorite pick of Tommy Lawler? Least favorite pick of Tommy Lawler?
Favorite pick is Quinyon Mitchell. No question about it. You know, that's a guy that I really hope the team would be able to get. And I just didn't see a way that he was going to fall to 22. And what you had, it was a case there. I did not anticipate six quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks. You know,
I don't think anybody did.
Right? So when that happened, you said, okay, we're dealing with some weird stuff. And then the first, I think it was 14
picks on offense. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, as you're watching it, you're sitting there and you always, the thing we've always heard is teams try to have five names that they would like at their pick. So you always have a list of kind of five guys, and as you get to pick 17 or 18 and you see Cooper DeJean still there, you see Quinyon Mitchell, Terry and Arnold, all your corners, and then you see there's a couple of offensive linemen there, you go, okay, they're going to get somebody good. And as things kept unfolding, all of a sudden, next thing you know, Quinyon Mitchell's there, 22. Howie, who has very little self-control when it comes to the draft and wanting to trade up for guys in the first round, showed great self-control in letting the board play out and then letting that player fall to them. So they got a player that really is a great fit in terms of need. He gives them exactly what they want. He's good value. He's a terrific player at 22. And again, you know, they did not have to move up to get him. So they didn't have to use extra resources. They got a player that really should be a big help. Least favorite pick? Boy, that's a tough one. I guess Will Shipley would be a guy that I just – so. Listen, it's all about personal bias. I want the Eagles to have a power runner.
So do I. I'm dying to see it, Tommy.
When I watched Jordan Howard a couple of years ago, it was the football equivalent of porn, right? A 225-pound sledgehammer running, and if you were in his way, he was just going to run over you. I loved watching that. So with
Audric Estime and LeGarrette Blunt for the show.
With Audric Estime from Notre Dame on the board, that's the guy. If they wanted a running back, that's the guy I wanted because he's a bigger guy who'll run over you.
Yeah.
So when they took Will Shipley, I was disappointed. Now, that's no insult to Will Shipley. It's just, you know, it's a question of did you want steak or chicken, right? The Eagles took chicken. I wanted steak. And when you watch Will Shipley, he's a good player, but I wanted a sledgehammer. And instead, they got a guy who, in my mind, is more of a third down back type. And they already had that in Kenny Gainwell. So to me, that was a little bit, you know.
By the way, to your point, Tommy, the Eagles only eat chicken these days. They look for the same thing. It's like, why? What happened to compliment? Yeah, you have guys who can catch the back, all out of the backfield, and Saquon, Kenny Gainwell. Why not go the other way? And they, undrafted kid from Georgia is a one cut back, but you know, you're not expecting anything from an undrafted kid. I'm with you. It drives me nuts. They want to collect the same kind of running back, and it doesn't make sense to me.
Listen, the coaches, and it's hard to say how much this is Howie and how much of the scouts, how much of the coaches, because the coaches are obviously, you know, the scouts' job is to evaluate players and put grades on them. The coaches are kind of telling the front office what they want. And so there's a combination of both groups. We know the Eagles, have this weird fetish with undersized athletic tight ends, and they just don't seem to work. You know, whether it's Grant Calcaterra, they've had a couple of guys that are undrafted players that they've brought in. This year they had the undrafted kid Castles from Tennessee they brought in. And for some reason, they just love the Albert O, who they traded for. They love the thought of these 245-pound tight ends that are really good athletes, and they just haven't panned out. And yeah. You're like, well, why do you keep going for it? Well, that's something that they to them, it's like buying a lottery ticket, and they just hope they're going to hit on one. Obviously, they like running backs that have a complete skill set. And if you watch Audric Estime, the kid I was talking about for Notre Dame, he has very little wiggle. You know, you get in the ball, he's running a straight line. He's not going to make a lot of guys miss.
But that's what I want. I want a chain mover, man.
Will Shipley can make those guys miss in the hole, and there is value in that. Yeah. The difference is, it's funny, Will Shipley runs a 4.45. Estime ran 4.7.1 or something.
Yeah.
Estime had an 80-yard touchdown run last year. Will Shipley's longest play at Clemson was 53 yards, I think. So play speed and time speed are very different. But anyway, Will Shipley, I think he's a fine addition. Just he wasn't the guy I wanted.
Yeah, and I don't understand it from the perspective of we don't have Brock Purdy or a quarterback like that. We have Jalen Hurts, who has shown that's not his game. He doesn't like to check the ball down to the running back. I don't know why they keep going for that from that perspective, but I digress. Tommy, you mentioned the patience of Howie Roseman on that first pick to wait for the board to come to him. I thought he showed tremendous patience on the second pick, waiting for Cooper DeJean, falls to 40. He makes his move, and then you see a small run on cornerbacks. I want to get your perspective on the player, Cooper DeJean, how you think he fits in Philadelphia, and Howie's move to go and get him at 40.
Yeah, Howie played the board great there because – you know, when you have a talent that's falling, and you know he's not going to get to, I think the Eagles had pick 50. There's no way DeJean's falling to pick 50, right? So Howie knows there's teams ahead of 50 that want corners. So he knows he's not going to fall that far. So the question is, at what point is there a trade that's workable where the value you feel like is reasonable to pay to go get the guy? And Howie, listen, you can disagree with his moves. You can say he doesn't evaluate this position well or whatever you want. There's no question he has a great sense of value, and he does a great job of talking to other teams and being a good trade partner. And so when he was able to work out that deal and move up and get him, great in terms of value. Cooper DeJean is a player I liked quite a bit. I'm a big fan of playmakers. You know, I want guys who can play the ball, get it, secure it, and then once they have it, they become offensive players. You know, Buddy Ryan used to teach his defense – our number one goal on defense is to score touchdowns, not force third downs, not sack the quarterback. It's to score touchdowns. And you want players that have that mentality. Once I get the ball, let's go try to score. DeJean has those kind of athletic skills and his instincts that when he gets the ball, he becomes a dangerous returner. The ball's in his hands and he's going to go make a play. So guys like that have real value. He's a very good athlete, 202 pounds. I think ran 4.44 at his pro day. And the only question is, where do you play him? Because he's versatile, but versatile can also mean, does he have one position he's a great fit for, right? So there's a question and a strength there at the same time. I wonder if the Eagles might try him at slot in the nickel where he played at Iowa, because if you put him in there, you could then in the future have Keely Ringo and Quinyon Mitchell on the outside. He's in the slot, and you got three corners that all have size, talent, speed, and could be the secondary of the future. If not, they could put him at safety. They could put him at outside corner. They can sort of move him around and try different things and see what works best.
Yeah. With DeJean, it's going to be interesting to me where he's going to play. But to your point about Howie understanding the board, Tommy, Green Bay was at 41 and they immediately trade down. What does that tell you when the Eagles go up to get Cooper DeJean? And by the way, right after Cooper DeJean, corner, right. Saints took Kool-Aid McKinstry. Houston took Kamari Lassiter. Arizona took Max Melton. And then the Packers, then it was the Raiders. The Packers ultimately got Edgerrin Cooper, who you could argue the Eagles could use as well, perhaps even more. But they're not going to do that from their perspective. So, yeah, he understands the market and what was about to happen at the cornerback position. And it was a tremendous move. But just to follow up on DeJean, and Jeff McClain got a lot of crap. He didn't deserve it because he asked a simple question. It's like, are they even going to give him an opportunity to play outside corner? Because there hasn't been a white outside cornerback since Jason Sehorn. It's been a while in the NFL. And they pigeonhole those guys, and maybe it's unfair. And is he even going to get the opportunity? I think he's going to be an inside player. And whether that means slot, he played what was called the cast position, what Iowa calls the cast position, which is sort of a hybrid safety linebacker. And I think the best opportunity for him to get on the field as a rookie, barring injury to Darius Slay or Quinyon Mitchell, which you hope doesn't happen, is sort of that nickel linebacker role. We all talk about the Eagles' weakness at linebacker, and it's a weakness. Maybe you only play one of them. Maybe you play big nickel and three safeties in obvious passing situations. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see what Vic Fangio wants to do. You know, he's going to get in there and he's going to take a look at his players, and he'll have options. You know, whereas last year there weren't, I guess technically they had options, they just weren't good ones. And so now with Quinyon Mitchell, DeJean, adding Gardner Johnson back in there, you know, Reed Blankenship's another year older, should be a better player. Sidney Brown seems like he's ahead of schedule in his recovery. So there's going to be some things. Darius Slay is going to have a real chip on his shoulder. And then Keely Ringo is going to be in year two. Maybe, you know, he can challenge for a starting role. So you're going to have some pieces to move around with and work with. And Avante Maddox, if he can stay healthy. Avante, we know, has talent, right? So it's just a matter of Vic Fangio saying, what's the best use of my resources? Who gives me the best, you know, chance to succeed and allow me to be creative? And the great thing about guys like DeJean is versatile. Gardner Johnson's versatile. Sidney Brown's versatile. These guys can play nickel and safety. They can slide around. So if the offense goes in motion and if you're playing a zone, you know, they're not necessarily going to get a favorable matchup because you have guys that can move with them or not have to move with the motion and cover or blitz or do whatever you want on that particular play. So Fangio is going to have some interesting pieces to work with, and we'll just see what he and the coaching staff come up with. And there'll be some trial and error. There's going to be a few bumps in the road, but hopefully by the end of the season, he'll have a defense that kind of has found its footing and does some things well, as opposed to last year when they, you know, started mediocre and they just finished horribly.
Tommy, I want to ask you about their third round pick, Jalix Hunt. There's a lot of conversation. They overdrafted the player. It's a project type of player, not anticipated to have any sort of role this year, as he's very unpolished. What did you make of that pick? Did the Eagles reach for that pick, or do you like the player, and do you think he's a good fit here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, so Hunt's an interesting player because he comes from such a small level. Houston Christian, formerly Houston Baptist, is a tiny college. You know, before that, he played at Cornell. You watch
his game. Safety at Cornell, by the way.
right. And so, you know, he's a project. There's no question about it because he's come from such small school football. And a few people hit me up on social media, said, hey, this is Davion Taylor part two. And I said, no, those are very different players. Davion Taylor, due to religious reasons, couldn't play football in high school until his final year. And then went to Colorado and was able to play because he's just such a big, athletic, natural kid. Hunt's been playing sports and he's 9 or 10 years old. He's played football. It's just that even in junior high or early high school, he's 5'7", 170 pounds. He had a late growth spurt, which pushed him from the secondary to a linebacker and then eventually defensive end. So he's new to defensive end, but he's not new to football. And the other thing is, defensive end is a position. There's two positions that are the most natural in all of football. I could take you two guys and make one of you a defensive end and one of you a running back. Those are positions you just go on feel and instinct, because the defensive end, go get the quarterback. So that's not complicated. Running back, only hand you the ball and avoid the guys in the opposite color jersey. That's not complicated.
Yeah, you don't want to put me there, Tommy. I've aged out.
Listen, I'm putting Xander as my pass rusher, and my friend, you're going to take a beating because we're going to run you.
All 5'10", 175 of me at the pass rusher.
But that's the thing with Hunt. So he is a project, but he's in a position where it's okay to be a project because athleticism is crucial to that position, right? He doesn't have to have polish and instincts. They can teach him pass rush moves. They can teach him things. They can't teach his burst, his closing speed, his agility. That stuff you're born with or you're not. And he's got it. He's developed it. It's interesting. He's 6'4", 252 pounds. He had a great showing at the combine. If you go back in Eagles history, there's another defensive end who was 6'4", 252 and had a great combine. You know who I'm talking about, John?
Mike Mamula.
There you go. There you go. The difference is Mike Mamula was taken, what, eighth overall? Mm-hmm. And
by the way, wasn't a bad player. He was actually a solid player. He was just overdrafted.
He was overdrafted. And of course, he had the curse of we passed on Warren Sapp to get him. And so that's, you're going to be, you know, have to deal with that baggage for your career. If they had taken him in the third round and he had 35 career sacks, you'd say, all right, that's not a bad pick at all.
Yeah. I used to have that argument with Jody, with Derek Barnett. It's like, if he's a third round pick, you go, oh, that's a solid rotational player. But he was a first round pick.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And with Hunt, so he's got functional size. You know, he showed physicality at the Senior Bowl that was the first time he was really going up against grown men. And not, when you watch his game tape, you know, he's just destroying kids out there. Because the kids that Houston Christian were playing, as Daniel Jeremiah referred to him, I think, the other day, he called them civilians. You know, you're playing against bankers and insurance guys.
Yeah,
and so he's just destroying those guys. When he went to the Senior Bowl, you see him going up against 310, 320-pound offensive tackles and holding his own and being able to drive them back or on run plays to hold his ground. So there's strength and physicality there. They just have to teach him. So to me, this is a fine pick. Listen, I had him rated lower than a third round, but that's because it's so hard for those of us on the outside to evaluate small school players, because when you watch the game tape, it's weird to watch because it's just non-competitive.
Yeah.
When he took off and you watch some of the hits he had on quarterbacks, and it was you felt bad for the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just destroying people, and you're like, it's almost like a bully. Right. Well, he was just a guy that was so far beyond the competition that was a little crazy. But I have no problem with them spending the pick that they did on him. And especially knowing it's such an interesting position, if you can develop a pass rusher, you know, the impact those guys have. And 6'4", 252, that's good size. And the guy's a legit athlete. So get him and see what you can.
Now, because I've heard, to your Taylor point, Tommy, and I've heard that as well. I'm not talking about comping player to player. I mean, I think that's silly in any indication. People say, oh, Ohio State quarterbacks can't play. And then all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud shows up as a rookie. It's got nothing to do with Arch Schlietstra and anybody else you want to bring up from down the road. He's got nothing to do with it. Jalix Hunt's got nothing to do with Davion Taylor and vice versa. My comp is taking a project on day two. It's late. I think it's nitpicking a little bit, but most of Powie's decisions I agree with. Taking a project with a premium pick, I don't know. That one I think you can question a little bit.
Sure, and that's fair. Absolutely. You know, it's not like this is a slam dunk. No, you couldn't pass on him. The one thing I'll say is they made it clear that Vic Fangio advocated for this guy strongly.
Yeah.
And so this is a player that the coaching staff aggressively wants to work with. Go back to Davion Taylor. The coaching staff did not like Davion Taylor. And so the coaching staff,
they liked him as a person. Good guy.
I'm talking about it. They weren't keen on him as a project.
Yeah.
And so that was a pick that the scouts said, hey, let's get this guy. He can work. The coaches didn't buy in. And so you had a player that didn't develop because I don't think the coaches really believed in him. Well, here you have a player that's going to be a project. The coaches we know said, listen, go get us this guy. So I'm okay if the coaches are going to Howie and saying, listen, this is somebody we really want to work with, get him. We think we can turn him into something. I'm okay with that. Again, it's a third round in what's overall not a great draft class. So and looking at the board, there wasn't anybody that I was just dying for the Eagles to take. Some of the players I kind of had interest in had been picked off at that point. So
Peyton Wilson.
Wilson.
You know who took Peyton? Andy Waddle.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, clearly the Eagles, I'm guessing, just didn't have him on their draft board.
I'm guessing so, too. But that concerns me, too, because those – those UPMC, I mentioned this on the show, that's like one of the go-to places for sports. You know, James Bradley works there. Joe Maroon works there. That's always been one of the go-to places for people that don't know when it comes to medical orthopedic stuff in the NFL. And they cleared them. So I put a little note in there and say, but I think it's more the Eagles just don't stink and value the linebacker position. That's where I go.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, they didn't bring Peyton Wilson to Philly for a visit. So they had concerns. And listen, he may have been a player that Fangio said he's not exactly what I'm looking for. I'd rather have the pass rusher, and we'll get somebody later. And so we'll see. Now listen, the Eagles needed to improve at linebacker. That's one thing I was disappointed in, is just adding, you know, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. in the fifth round. I was hoping for more than that. So there's no question that's something that I don't think they did a great job of. But listen, getting two cornerbacks that early, that's not something I accounted for as a possibility. No. So if you tell me they can go get Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, and then you got to wait on linebacker, listen, I'll take that deal every day of the week.
Tommy, yeah. Is that too much stock, though, in what the coaches say? We've had four defensive coordinators in 5 years.
No,
if you're making a pick in the third round, which is a premium pick, because your defensive coordinator says he likes the guy, is that the right philosophy to approach that pick with?
Yeah. So again, it's not a case of this is a player that had a sixth round grade, and Fangio saying you got to go get him. They obviously had a high grade on him, and other teams had good grades on him. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah had him rated as the 60th best player or something like that. So he wasn't going to last much longer. So when the coaches tell you, hey, listen, it's somebody we want, I have no problem with that. If the coaches were pushing for him and he was a late round pick, that'd be different. But if the Eagles had him on their draft board, and he was good value, and you have a choice between A, B, or C, and the coaches say we really want B, not A or C, then I have no problem with that. That's because they're going to coach the player, and players are only going to succeed if there's a real synergy between the guys drafted them, the guys coaching them, and then the player themselves. So. If they had passed on a legitimately better player, there's no question about to take him. That's when you have a problem. And we've seen that before, where teams don't listen to their boards and they start making decisions based on whims, and things have gone haywire. And we've had some bad draft choices throughout history because of that. If the guy's valued there, then the coach advocates for him, that's not a problem in my mind.
Going back to your, and you're right. You're 100% right. You generally have a cloud of prospects in the first round, so you want a group of four or five. And you know, depending when you're 22, and if you're not moving up, you're at the behest of others on how many that in that cloud are going to be there. Howie was pretty honest on day three. When he was asked about the offensive line, and it was Bo Wolf who asked him, basically before the draft, if you asked him, would you be surprised if you didn't have an offensive lineman until day three? And Howie was like, yep. He thought he was getting an offensive lineman. The urgency which they used to sign Mekhi Becton after the draft. I mean, immediate. Does that tell?
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's KundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with CookUnity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. CookUnity offers hundreds of meals prepared by their roster of all-star chefs. Simply choose from their innovative variety or let them surprise you. Menus are updated weekly, and new chefs are always joining the team, so you'll have fun discovering new favorites while avoiding the dreaded dinner rut. No cleanup or meal planning, just easy and effortless meals delivered fully cooked that heat up in as little as 5 minutes. Speaking of easy, CookUnity is flexible and commitment-free. Skip deliveries, pause, or cancel anytime. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to CookUnity, affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.
Tell you anything about the Eagles' original plans?
They wanted an offensive tackle. There's no question about it. You know, it was a good tackle class. So you think, okay, one's going to fall. But again, Cooper DeJean fell. They went up, got him. If they stay at 50, if they have picks 50 and 53, one of those might have been an offensive tackle. But when they saw DeJean fall, they said, man, that's a guy. Howie said in an interview yesterday that I think they had 24 players rated as first rounders. So when you get to pick 40 and one of those 24 is still there, right, man, that's great value. And you say, would I rather have a, you know, we can go get a second round offensive tackle at 50 or 53, or I can trade up and get a first round corner at pick 40. So, you know, you're sitting there and, you know, again, it's like going to the grocery store and your wife tells you, go buy some pork chops. You get there and ground beef's on sale and it's so cheap. You're like, that's just too good a deal. I can't pass on that. We'll have pork chops next week, you know? And so Howie, I don't think there's any way in his mind he thought Cooper DeJean is going to be on the board at 40. So when he was, he went and got him. So he's going to secure the secondary. And he knew that means that he's going to have to neglect some other areas. So offensive line all of a sudden got pushed to the back burner. But that goes back to Howie's, the thing he always says is you're always looking for talent. You have other options. So yeah, when you don't get the player in the draft, that's when you say, okay, let's go get the guy who's on the street as a free agent. And so that's where people fall into this trap of, well, the Eagles have to draft an offensive tackle in this draft. You know, what if one's not available? You can't then just go force it, take the highest rated available. Because what if he's not a good player? What if the coaches don't believe in him? then you're doing yourself a disservice.
No, I don't have any problem with Howie's decisions. Like I said, Tommy, they generally make sense. I brought up Andy before, and this is the reason. If I'm going to read off this draft, Troy Patano at 20, Zach Frazier at 51, Roman Wilson, the potential slot receiver from Michigan at 84, Peyton Wilson at 98, Mason McCormick at 119. If you just woke up out of a coma, you would think that's an Eagles draft. And that was Andy Weidel's draft in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And it was right before the Eagles.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Faltano won 20. Now the Eagles moved up, so Zach Frazier, but that would have been a nice interior guy for the offensive guard. Obviously, looking for that wide receiver 3, they took a flyer on Anaya Smith in the fifth round. Roman Wilson, I thought, would have been a great fit. We talked about Peyton Wilson, and McCormick's an interior player from South Dakota State I liked.
Yeah.
That to me looks like an Eagles draft. So I do think, you got to pivot. I think that's what Howie's best at. His contingencies are really, really good. I think
I'll disagree with you on one point. So you talk about that draft. The Steelers needed starting caliber players for their offensive line. The Eagles offensive line, as of today, you know, if you project Tyler Steen at right guard, they've got solid starters everywhere.
The Eagles have a top five offensive line, but clearly
they needed players. They need a right tackle of the future, and they needed depth and competition on the inside.
Well, I think if they would have gotten Faltano, mm-hmm. I think that's your starting right guard. And ultimately, he kicks out to replace Lane. I think that's the plan. Now, maybe it turns into a Landon Dickerson situation where he's so good at right guard, you don't move him down the road, and you got to end up finding a right tackle. But I think that was the plan. I think, and Howie will be honest at some point. He generally lets us know on who that cloud of prospects is. He's never going to be honest about who Quinyon Mitchell forever is entrenched. He was the guy we wanted.
Right.
But we'll get a good feeling of who that cloud of prospects was. I get the hunch it was Faltano, but it doesn't matter. I mean, nobody gets – if you're a 22 and you get one of the group, back in the Devontae Smith year, he was the last of the cloud of prospects that they thought they were going to get, and they moved up ahead of the Giants to get him. It's worked out beautifully. Doesn't matter. First, last, indifferent. I think the same thing's going to happen with Quinyon Mitchell. I just bring that up because the swiftness with which they acted with Mekhi Becton tells you how much they wanted an offensive lineman. Could have been second round. Could have been that second pick.
Sure.
But they wanted to come out with an offensive lineman with that guard tackle versatility. But the contingencies are great. That's why I'm trying to nitpick, Tommy. I'm sick of lauding Howie. <Rush. laughs>
Well, listen, the one thing we can say, Howie's great at draft value. What we have to find out now is if some of these value picks can pan out. Kobe Dean in the third round looked like a steal. Well, he hasn't done a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
Nolan Smith looked like a steal at pick 30 last year. Didn't do a whole lot. Now, part of that's the coaches, they had so many guys at edge rusher that he kind of got lost in a shuffle. It feels like there's a more concerted effort to get him on the field this year. So this year will be a better indication of where he is. But perceived value on draft day is one thing, and Howie's great at it. But you need to see those guys start to pan out a little bit. And Andre Diller was a guy that we thought there's no way he's going to be there.
Tremendous value.
The Eagles took him, didn't turn out to be a particularly good player. So value is great, but we need to start seeing some of these guys pan out, or at some point then Howie's going to have to say, you know what? Maybe these guys are sliding for a reason. The rest of the league knows something that we don't, and we need to start paying attention to that. So, because you're always looking, you always want to, look at your successes, study them, see what do we do right. Let's learn from that. You also want to look at your failures and say, what do we do wrong, and how can we address this in the future? And is there something? Do we have a blind spot? And so it'll be interesting to see how Nolan Smith does this year, how N'Kobe Dean does this year, and we'll see how Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean do. Because these great value picks, value's nice when we're talking the Monday after the draft.
Right.
But 3 years from now, we need players, right? Value, yeah. Value goes out the window 3 years from now. That's when you need players. So that's kind of the, if you want to nitpick and say that's something to watch, there you go.
Yeah, the evaluation really starts now on what these guys can do. Tommy, I want to ask you about day three, which is a depth day, obviously. It's a later in the draft or more. Looking for depth pieces, taking flyers on potential physical attributes. Did anything stick out to you on day three that you liked? Any players jump out the screen? I know Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is obviously the fan favorite, but any players from day three that you like?
Well, you know, let's talk about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. for just a second. I hope fans understand that he is not his dad in any way, shape, or form, yeah. Right? Jeremiah Trotter was 6'3", 260 pounds, ran a fast 40, had an amazing career. He would have been possibly a first-round pick, but he had terrible knees, and he went to Stephen F. Austin. If he went to Clemson and had clean knees, he might have been a top 20 pick. Instead, the Eagles got him in the third round in 1998. So his son, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., goes and plays at an elite football school, is healthy, has no issues, and is a fifth-round pick. So that tells you he's just not the same physical specimen that his dad was. Not many guys are. 6'3", 260, fast.
And by the way, those players like Trot, the original Trot, Tommy, don't exist anymore in the NFL. Yeah. There's a reason. You know, there are no 260-pound linebackers who are bullies.
Right.
If they are, they're getting 15-yard flags multiple times a game.
Penalties every other play, yeah.
And that's the thing, if you remember, if you could go back and watch his dad play, watch some highlights, one of the things that he specialized in, he would just attack downhill. So at the snap of the ball, he would read the offensive lineman, he would just go take off, and he would run into an offensive lineman and just try to blow the play up.
Yeah.
His son is not that guy. He's 228 pounds. And so he's going to need Jordan Davis to occupy blockers and allow him to flow to the football and make tackles. He's a good blitzer. He shows a good feel for coverage. He's got really good range. You watch him make sideline-to-sideline tackles, but sometimes he'll get stuck on blocks when he's trying to play the inside run. Sometimes he makes sloppy reads, kind of guesses where the ball is going and will get in the wrong gap. And then his tackling can be a little bit erratic at times. So there's things to clean up for him. So anybody projecting, he's going to come in here and definitely start right away and be this impact player. Yeah. I don't see that happening. Listen, it'd be a great story if it did, but his name and – is not in his legacy. That's not going to get him on the field. It's going to be performance. So
no, I'm curious. 100%. And I hope it works out because it'll be a great story if he turns into a player. I will say this, and it's at Lawler NFL. Make sure you follow Tommy. Does a tremendous job. Tremendous knowledge of this organization and its history. EaglesBlitz.com. You can read them there. That both of their fifth round picks, and I add, and this is rare, I add Anaya Smith into that as well. They both have opportunities, not guaranteeing anything, but the Eagles need an upgrade at that wide receiver three position, mainly the slots. Paris Campbell, we've seen enough of Paris Campbell. The light's not coming on.
Yeah. I mean, how dare you?
He might be competent. He might be better than Quez Watkins, but there's a limit. There's a ceiling there. My concern about Smith is he's a manufactured touch player. I've seen no evidence that this organization can take advantage of that type. And then with Trotter, as you kind of alluded to, you have that assumption that he's going to be his father, which is unfair to him, but he might be. What he might be is better than Devin White or even N'Kobe Dean. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world, mainly because those guys haven't played well. And N'Kobe hasn't played a lot.
Devin White's been a good player. He wasn't good last year. He had flashes last year, but Devin White's been a good player in this league. There's no question about it.
No, he was a good player. I would argue, Tommy, he was a good player. He was a great player for their run towards the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Talking to people in Tampa, everything else has been a disappointment. Now, he had the 9 sack season, so he got those Fugazi votes for Pro Bowl or All Pro, whatever he was. He tremendous athlete, but he lived up to it on that run to the Super Bowl, but nothing else. Everybody in Tampa's got nothing good to say.
No, listen, if you go watch certain games, you see a good linebacker. If you watch the season opener last year against Minnesota, he played well. That was a good performance. That's a good player. If you watch other games, you see him struggle. There's no question about it. The guy got benched for a reason. Okay. A fifth round pick coming in and out playing him right away, that's not likely to happen. Possible, of course. You never know. When the pads go on, the lights go on, crazy things happen, and some guys just thrive. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could turn out to be a good player. It'd be awesome if he did, because it'd make a compelling story and it'd be really interesting. So be fun to watch him. Anaya Smith, I'll disagree with you on Anaya Smith. Listen, that's a guy I wanted the Eagles to target. That's a player that I when you watched him play, he jumped off the tape to me because of his run after the catch ability. And so that's a guy that can go play in the slot, can get open, he can play outside. He's a good returner, and he's dangerous with the ball in his hands. And that's, you know, the Eagles always, it feels like, struggle to get run after the catch yards. And so that's an area where he can help them. If they're going to throw those screens, throw them to a guy who's good at them and let him make some plays for you. So I like him. The only reason he went in the fifth round, he had some injury issues that pushed him down a little bit. He to me, he's a better player than that. But yeah, he was good value at that point.
Yeah, he's not. Well, he's also a 4.55 guy. So you know this league and receivers and
No, everybody's in love with the 40 time, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The other thing that I'll say is the guys that they took late. You know, I think Howie said, listen, you need to take guys that are a little bit unusual. And I think he hit the nail on the head. Johnny Wilson, when the Eagles brought him in for a visit, I thought, oh, man, don't take this guy in the third round. That's not. It's just big receivers have a history of failing in this league. For every Plexico Burris, there's 10 guys that were 6'6", 230 that did nothing. Yeah. And so when they brought him in, I said, no, don't take that guy. Well, in the sixth round, that's a different story. You know, that's where you do take him and take a chance on him, see what he can do. And then Dylan McMahon, 6'3", 299, and maybe the most athletic center in the whole draft, and a guy that is, has a lot of Kelce qualities. Now, he's not going to be Jason Kelce.
Sixth round, almost the exact same pick, Tommy.
Hey, listen,
no pressure. Athletic.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Does he have a brother? Yeah. You know, so he's got a chance to come in and compete for a backup role. You know, he's not going to have I don't think he's going to have Howard Mudd fall in love with him, making the starter right away, the way that Kelce did and the rest is Eagles history. But Dylan McMahon can come in here, challenge the Eagles. One of the things that we don't talk enough about with Kelce, as good a player as he was, he didn't get hurt. He didn't come off the field.
Oh, yeah.
And so Cam Jurgens is a human being. Jason Kelsey's, I don't know what he is, but he's not a human being. So they're going to need a backup center. Who's the last backup center to start a game for the Eagles? You know, you'd have to go back a ways.
I think it's David Mulk, but I have to look.
I don't know, man. You have to go back a long way. So having a guy like McMahon to come in and challenge for a role as a backup center, that's good. And again, the guy's a really good athlete. We know Stoutland loves athletic guys. So if anybody's going to know how to take advantage of an undersized player, that's Stoutland. You give him an undersized athlete. He obviously did some good things with the guys the Eagles had in recent years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy, I'm a little too high on a fifth round pick that the Eagles made in Trevor Keegan, the guard out of Michigan, 3-year starter, 37 starts, won the national championship, was a captain on that team. Tell me why I should not be this high on a fifth round.
He's got great hair too. Got great hair.
Big and strong. It looks like he could be a great guard in this league. Am I wrong to be high on that player?
Yeah, a little bit. He's a lunch pail guy, right? I was just watching some all 22 of him last night, and you watch the guy and he comes.
He's a phone booth guy, Tommy. I don't see the Stoutland.
So the Michigan part of it is the style of offense. They didn't do a lot where he got out and did wide pulls. They did short pulls.
Yeah.
So when you see him do short pulls, he's effective on those. I was just watching a game, a play against Penn State where they had a running back go downfield. He went downfield. So he's 20 yards downfield and he's trying to find somebody to block him. And he just can't, he doesn't have the body control to take while at full speed to slow down and hit the guy. So he kind of went for a couple of guys and he didn't make good contact with anybody. So, you know, just being a bully out in space, there's some skill to that. And that's why when you see Jason Kelce hit those guys 20 yards downfield, man, it looks easy, but boy, it's not. Yeah. And so with Keegan, like I say, he's a lunch pail guy that he's going to give you max effort on every play. He's going to play with good leverage. He's always going to find somebody to hit. He doesn't just stand and watch, but he's not special physically in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't have great size. He's not like 330 pounds. He's not a rare athlete. So he's a guy that, to me, I think could eventually develop into a starter, but I just think he's got a real limited ceiling. But listen, there's room in this league for lunch pail guys. Those guys can play for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. I think he might be the new Jack Driscoll. You know, Jack was more tackled than guard, but similar, not the best athlete, but solid player, solid backup. I think he's got a chance to be a solid backup, more guard than tackle, obviously.
Oh, yeah. No, he did start one game at left tackle at Michigan.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to hunt that down to see what his footwork looked like. When you watch him in pass protection at guard, solid, but you know, like one of the reps last night, Chop Robinson lined up across from him and Chop Robinson just blew right by him.
Yeah. Wow.
Now
yeah.
Chop's an exceptionally good athlete. Now to Keegan's credit, he knew he was beat and he still got up and tried to ride him wide and he allowed McCarthy to get the pass off. But when you watched him go against an elite athlete on the inside, man, he was struggling. So he's going to have some issues, but again, he's a lunch pail guy. He's going to come in and give you what you expect. And he's a high character guy. Like you said, a team captain. So there's room for those guys.
Red Star. He's one of my Red Star. Howie said he got 5 Red Star guys.
So. Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to guarantee he was one of them. Will Go Shipley down. Was one of them.
Right.
And then you can debate the others. The 5.
We'll save that for the next visit.
Yeah. Sorry, we kept you so late at Lawler NFL. You're a high character guy. You're a Red Star guy.
Wow.
Everything.
We need to drug test that, man.
We want. Yeah. EaglesBlitz.com. Make sure you follow Tommy. Look at his thoughts. He's got his take on the Eagles signing of Mekhi Becton, which we talked about a little bit. And that's all of a sudden you get – who knows what he could turn into with Jeff Stoutland's tutelage. Hopefully the Jets didn't ruin him completely. And all of a sudden you may get your heir apparent at right tackle in a different way.
Hopefully he starts in the game 17 when the Eagles are resting their starters.
Exactly. You don't want to see him, but that's pretty good depth, I will say.
Oh, absolutely.
That is pretty solid depth. 1 year, $5.5 million. And that's worth up to $5.5 million. So we'll see
he got McMullen money. Yeah.
Official details. And that's what getting back to our discussion with Devin White, by the way, buddy, that's what I'll point to. Look at the contract. There's 31 other teams. If you were that good.
Oh, I didn't say he was a good player right now, but I'm saying he's done.
Yeah, he's got potential. He's got potential just like Becton. There's no doubt about it. But that's the best athlete the Eagles have had at linebacker since at least Michael Kendricks. And I don't know who you want to go back to before that.
I can't believe you're going to skip the whole Nate Gary era. Come on, man. People have feelings.
Nate Gary. By the way, I get people upset by this, Tommy, and I'm keeping you longer. I just apologize. I think Nate Gary's a good pick, a good draft pick. I think people don't understand how to judge draft picks. If you're getting a guy on day 3 that turns into a role player, a part-time starter, and gives you valuable snaps, Jim Schwartz loved Nate Gary. That's a successful draft pick. I'm sorry, people. Agree or disagree, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what was it? Was his nickname White Snake? Is that what they called him?
Yeah, White
Snake. They obviously, the coaches loved him. Was he a good player? No, he wasn't a good player. Was he a good draft pick? Because again, he was a good role player, special teamer, you know, did some things on defense. Yeah, that's fine. And because one of the things I stress to people, not every pick is going to be a starter, right? We know that. What did Howie say? 40% of the first rounders fail.
Yeah.
You know, the overall draft is probably higher than that. So you just have to be realistic. If you come out with a couple of starters, if you find a really good player, you know, for every time you get a Jordan Mailata late, you know, there's all a ton of guys that just, you know, they were here for a year or two and gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to make it in the NFL. So if you can find a guy that can stay around for a few years and help your team win some games, do some things, yeah, that's a good pick. You don't want that at pick 20.
No.
But a fifth or sixth round pick that it carves out a role on your team and helps you win games, yeah, that's absolutely
it's a sliding fine. Scale. And that's absolutely. Why, yeah,
exactly
with,
right.
with McMahon, don't expect the next Kelsey. But maybe you get a solid, serviceable player on day three.
He doesn't have to be Jason Kelsey, but it needs to be better than Donna Kelsey. How about that?
That fair enough.
Okay.
All right, Tommy, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate everybody. Go read Tommy at eaglesblitz.com. He does tremendous work over there. We appreciate you joining the show, Tommy.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Tommy.
All right, Johnny Mac. When we get back on the other side, we'll have Ian Cummings, now our number two from Pro Football Network, a great draft analyst. I'm sure he can give us great insight onto some of these Eagles draft picks. And on the other side of the break, Johnny Mac, I want to talk to you about fan favorite Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and what his path to starting on the Eagles looks like. You've mentioned it many times on our recap on yesterday's show. There is a path. Even though he's a fifth-round pick, there is a path. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Keep it locked in here on Birds 365. Don't forget to like the show, share the show, and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate all of you for listening, and we'll be back on the other side of the break.